Hey, everybody. Welcome to the After Further Review podcast. I'm Pete Doherty, along with Mr. Eric Baranchek. And we're here to discuss the Green Bay Packers 24-12 win over the Los Angeles Rams in Monday Night Football. You look fine, Eric. Don't worry about it.
Thank you.
So let's jump right into it. Lots of talk last night after the game, and again today, about a guy named Keyshawn Nixon. What do you make of this guy and what he's done for the Packers' return game?
Well, you talk about a guy that goes from obscurity to being a superstar overnight is pretty impressive, isn't it? First of all, I think the most important thing that we have to address with that is that this is the first time in a long time that we addressed the special teams, not with a sour taste in our mouth, but with, you know, it's pretty exciting. And I like the way that he – not only does he catch the ball and run with it, but he goes north and south in a hurry. And that's what makes a good returner is to be able to get going and have the confidence and the intestinal fortitude to grab the ball and go forward in a hurry. Have a great first step. All those things are important. But if you dance around sideways to sideways, gives guys chance to get upfield and get on top of you and close off those lanes. But when you're going forward right now, it gives better angles for the blockers and big returns. I don't know if anyone could see it who was not at the game, but that sideline goes bananas when he has a nice return. And, you know, not a lot of people understand how important Uncle Mo is or the momentum. It's still an emotional game. And when you're up and you're excited, you play better. And that's the bottom line. So that what he does is brings a spark to the entire offense when they go out there and take the field and certainly add some juice to that sideline.
Yeah, there's a practical element and an emotional one too, because, you know, I mean, the Rams score a touchdown. They kick it off. The guy returns it 50 yards to a little past midfield, and the Packers are going ballistic on the sidelines. Here the Rams are the ones who just scored. And the Packers are the ones celebrating. So it really does turn the feel of the game around. I thought it was interesting that, you know, because you didn't put it quite that way when we talked earlier today, but you're right. He gets north and south quickly, and yet he's also really fast. So he ends up bouncing. He ended up bouncing, I think it was three of his returns to the outside. Once after getting north and south, he bounced outside and he outruns everybody to the edge. And that's how he was picking up extra yardage. I was trying to think back. Who do you think was the Packers' last pretty dangerous return guy?
The last one that comes to memory, and I don't know if he was dangerous, more or less opportunistic, was Micah Hyde returning punts. I mean, I think he had some really nice punts, a couple of TDs. Allen Rossum. You know, if you really go back a long ways, you know, there's a gentleman from Michigan.
Yeah, but Desmond Howard. Yeah,
yeah, that's it.
So I was just going through there the year by year in the yearbook or in the press guide, and you know Hyde kind of jumped out, but his stat because you're right. I remember him getting at least one punt for a touchdown, but his stats were just, you know, they were just okay. But he wasn't a bad punt returner. He wasn't a kickoff returner. Really, the last one who was pretty good was Randall Cobb back in 2011, I guess it would have been, and 2011 and maybe 12. And he was, you know, he had a couple of returns for touchdowns. His average stats, you know, average per return wasn't off the charts or anything, but it was pretty good. And I think this guy might be better. I think he's a little more explosive, a little faster. I don't know if you agree.
You know, I guess the funny thing is it took him a while to figure out. Maybe it was because they were going to give that draft pick a really good opportunity, but, man, what a difference it makes, doesn't it? I mean, it's totally changed the way that momentum is and the way that feeling is when you watch it on TV, you know, or if you're in the stands. After a big return, that offense runs out to the field. They're excited to get out there. They're excited to play. And, you know, after, you know, if some of those ones that bounce off their chest and they're at the 10-yard line and stuff, the way those offense kind of strolls out there a little gingerly.
Yeah, you're in another hole. You know what's – I think one of the most interesting things of this is, so this guy played three seasons for Rich Bisaccia with the Raiders. And even with the Raiders, he only had six returns, kickoff returns in his career, zero punt returns in his career. So I'm not sure Bisaccia even knew what he had in this guy as a return guy. They knew he was fast, but he never really gave him a chance when he was with the Raiders either. But it just, I still find it a kind of mind blowing that, look, I get that they wanted to give Amari Rodgers every chance, but they gave him every chance plus about 10. And really, I mean, yeah, I think we even probably talked about it. I'd have to go back and look, but I'll bet we were talking about, you know, it's time to give somebody else a crack at this return job, you know, earlier than they ended up doing it. It was Nixon's first kickoff return was against the Giants in week 6. And I think his first punt return might have been, I'd have to go back and check now, but I think it might have been against the Cowboys, which was like week 10. So that was, you know, I'm sure ball security, they wondered, he'd never done the punt returning in a game, even though he practiced it a lot with the Packers and with the Raiders. So I'm sure the ball security was an issue. But what about, because I asked you this earlier when we talked on the phone earlier today. Practice, you can't tell about return guys in practice, really, can you? Because there's no tackling. You can't have tackling on special teams. Guys that get hurt every play.
No, and that you can't really test the guys and test on a fortitude either. I mean, you got to in practice, you got a bunch of guys that are coming down about 3/4 speed, probably carrying a pad, and it's just kind of a, you know, you're just going to tag them. But in a game, you got guys screaming down at you, and believe me, there's some big fellas on that. On most teams, kick teams, you know, they got linebackers and safeties that are coming down there full speed. It's a little bit different. That's not something for the faint of heart. If you're afraid of contact, that is not the right spot for you. But in practice, you can catch it and run. You don't have no worries of getting hit. So yeah, it is certainly difficult to gauge a punt returner or a kick returner in practice. And sometimes it's just, you know, it's a game deal. You got to get out there and do it.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I remember this is going way, way back. Gil Haskell was one of Mike Holmgren's, I think he was a receivers coach for most of his time here, but he also helped do some special team stuff. And I was talking to him about the return game. We were talking about returners one day. And he talked about, I can't remember the guy's first name, but when he was with the Rams in the, I think it was in the 80s, they had a return guy whose last name was Brown, who was an Olympic sprinter. I mean, he was a world-class caliber sprinter, but you know, the guy didn't like getting hit. And he said they had the guy return kickoffs, and he'd catch the kickoff and run as fast as he could straight up the field until he saw somebody, and then basically start heading towards the sideline so nobody could get out of bounds, so nobody could hit him. But the guy did okay. I wish I could remember his first name. I just thinking of this as we're talking, but it is dangerous duty, that's for sure.
Yeah, not for the weak of heart, that's for sure.
So next subject. So how about this? We banged on Quay Walker pretty good much of the season because he's, I mean, the truth be told, he's been a liability as a run stopper on runs between.
A liability? I think you can make it a lot worse, bigger case than that. Holy cow.
You think that's overstating how effective he was, huh?
Yeah, it's sometimes. And then you look at that first play of the game. It was, you know, I remember grabbing my head going, oh.
I didn't even notice it. I didn't even notice it until I went back and until you mentioned it. And when I watched the tape, and he was right there, right in the hole, had a clean shot at Akers and fanned. So, you know, and we've been all over him about missed tackles one, and he just doesn't press the line of scrimmage at all. But after that play, he had a pretty decent game. Maybe arguably one of his best games. His best game. What do you make of it? What did you think of what you saw?
Oh, totally. I thought as that play was developing, I was like, man, this guy, he was actually pressing the line of scrimmage, but he certainly didn't finish when he got there. But a couple things. He had some really nice plays. He had the sack, the strip sack fumble. He also had he had two pass breakups that were really good. And he had a really nice play behind the line of scrimmage where he knifed in there and it wasn't a blitz. I went back and watched that very carefully. Yeah, me too. That was not a blitz. That was just him seeing a gap and taking it and going to make it a play. Here's my take on the whole thing is at the beginning, the first couple games in the season, you know, he was just getting his nose wet, just figuring it out a little bit. And then he got put into that role of having to call the defense and having to line people up a little bit. That's an awful lot for a guy. A young guy, especially, you know, the last time they had a undrafted guy was Chris Barnes that had that responsibility. He handled it okay. He is not the physical athlete that you see out of Quay Walker. But what I think the difference is right now at this point in the season is that Campbell is back and he's able to take care of all of that stuff. Get guys lined up, make sure that guys are typewriting across, they're in their their gaps, excuse me, and run in, when the guys are going in motion. He's in charge of all of that stuff. He can handle it. And Quay Walker is just being allowed to just be a football player. And you saw that kind of bubble up. I guess the part that was really exciting for me out of all the stuff, the sack and the him pressing the line, was when they blitzed him on that set, excuse me, on that strip sack, he was able to time that up perfectly. And that's something that's like a feel. It's an art. You have to be able, when you're coming from the inside, if you just take off, a lot of times that's really hard. A halfway decent offensive lineman is going to see that, and they're going to pass the guy, because there's the guy that's on the outside shoulder. Let's say at this point in time, it's a tackle. That guy is going to be pinching hard down into the B gap. So what they'll do, they'll, you know, say something or do something so that that guard knows he's got to pick him up. And then that tackle just goes, you know, slides out and picks up that blitzing backer, or vice versa. So, excuse me. The one thing that I thought was really impressive was he timed it just right. And for the most part of the season, there was zero timing. The ball was snapped and he just fired. In this situation, where he paused just long enough for that tackle to go with that outside backer who was pinching and get up, being able to get around the corner pretty much untouched. That to me was like, oh, all right, now we got something here. Because I think with his athletic skills and his ability to run straight line and his length, whoever the next defensive coordinator is next year, whether it's Barry or somebody else, certainly should be taking advantage of that, because that's a rare talent. And he's not a real physical take on block guys. So make him move, make him be an athlete, go out there. That's what he's excelling at. That's probably where he's going to be really, really good in the future until he gets his game legs under him a little bit. But at this point in time, you got a young, long, fast athlete. You got to be able to take advantage of him right now. And what I thought was really nice was to see him be able to take that step on the mental level, to be able to pause for just a second, let everything develop in front of him, and then fire. That was great.
That brings up a question that I didn't ask you when we talked on the phone earlier. So this is going to be off the cuff for you. But we talked, I don't know, it was probably maybe 3 weeks ago or so about, you know, maybe this guy's future should be at outside linebacker instead of inside as an edge guy. What do you think now? Does that have your, because you were advocating that, does this change your thoughts at all? If they're still playing a 3-4 next year, would you move him to outside linebacker, or would you still keep him at the inside and move him around some, but still have his primary position be on the inside?
That's a really good question. Sometimes you play guys in spots because of need, and other times you got to play spots where they're best suited to play. I believe because of his length, he's got long arms, he's tall, and he can run. And he can run, you know, he can really run. I like that on the outside backer, especially if you're going to be running a more aggressive style of defense like, maybe Pittsburgh used to run, where you can drop him. And they do this on occasion with Preston Smith. They drop him into coverage. So if you want to send a backer or you want to send a safety, you can drop him back into coverage. Or if you're going to line up with your base front, so three down linemen and two outside backers, and have one inside backer on in nickel, which is a formation. You saw the Rams do it a lot. The Packers did it a little bit through the course of the season. And then you still need to drop him into the flat. He's got all the athletic ability to do that. Get him on the edge, rush the quarterback, and get, you know, he's got uncommon speed. He's got explosiveness, and he's got length. He can be disruptive. I like him in that spot more than I like him inside, because for me, I just like a bruiser inside. I like a guy that's going to demand double teams. They have to figure out a way, because this guy's going to bloody your nose if you don't, to block him. So that's just me, and that's my concept of defense. I like his abilities to play outside at this point far greater than what he can do inside.
Yeah, it's a tough thing that, you know, NFL teams have to deal with now, because it's such a pass-oriented game, and it's become so, you know, obviously more so every year for the, you know, going back to the late 70s. But the run is starting to come back this year. And so, you know, GMs and coaches have to decide, what do they want on from an inside guy? Because they need to be able to cover, but teams are getting killed against the run, so you need to be able to stop the run too. So I'll be curious to see. I'm assuming the Packers will have a new defensive coordinator next year. I'll be curious to see, you know, what this guy will do with Walker. Speaking of which, we'll just talk real briefly on this, but their other first-round pick, Devontae Wyatt. So when I rewatched the game, I watched all this, made sure I saw all the snaps. And I know when I, cause he was only playing 5 to 10 snaps a game. When I watched him early, up until this week, basically, he was getting, he'd get double teamed once or twice a game, and he would just get blown out of there like bad. And it, you just, you can't have that. And they double teamed him once yesterday, and he slugged it out in there and didn't get moved. And the runner, Akers, had to go to a different hole and ended up picking up, you know, 1 or 2 yards, nothing. And it was like, wow, I hadn't seen that all season. I mean, that actually looked like a step forward for the guy.
Yeah. And also he did fend off a block and make a tackle in the backfield for a very short gain in the third quarter, and then got in on that sack. He did credit him with a half a sack on that. And that was, you know, that was really good to have that opportunity to have to go inside, excuse me, inside out on that. And, really did a nice job of not getting too deep. He flattened out and went to the quarterback. That was the first time that I really saw some of the things that they talked about during the draft, where his first step was quick, and he had good lateral speed. So, you know what? It's that time in the season, and we did discuss a little bit about this earlier, is that, you know, for rookies, this is a tough time. You know, in their entire playing career up until this point, they've been done by now. They're either getting ready for a bowl game or they're, you know, taking some time off and getting ready for next season. Nobody plays this deep into December unless you're in a bowl game. And even then, it's not as rigorous. It's not as mentally or physically challenging as it is. So hats off to the coaching staff to keep these guys fresh, engaged, and ready to go. And I think you saw the entire rookie class. It seems to be taking a step, not just the two guys we mentioned, but, you know, all of them, Watson, Dobbs, the whole batch of them, Ingambari, they're all doing things. So that's a hats off to the coaching staff to keep them fresh. But, yeah, I think going back to Devontae Wyatt, that was – I agree with you. That was the first game where it looked like he belonged.
So we'll wrap this up with you know, a few weeks ago when the Packers were in the midst of losing, what was it, 7 of 8 or whatever it was. I remember at one point you said, you know, we were talking about how they're going to do for the rest of the season. And I said, well, you know, they'll win a couple games. And you said, who are they going to beat? Remember that?
I didn't realize the Rams are as bad as they are.
Here we are, 6-8. They got 3 games left. So they're going to Miami this weekend. Then they've got Minnesota at Lambeau and Detroit at Lambeau. What do you think? I mean, obviously none of us knows how these games are going to go, but just what's your best guess on what their record, how they'll do in these last three?
Oddly enough, I think the team that they may have the best chance of beating is the Vikings. That's how I feel. And I think the Lions, they got a head of steam right now. They got all the momentum. They're playing hard. That coach is nutty as he is. He's got those guys believing. They're drinking the Kool-Aid and they're playing hard. I expect that to be one heck of a game, because that could be a game that Detroit needs to get, or both teams could need to get in the playoffs. I also believe that it's going to be really tough sledding next week in Miami, because not only do they have two receivers that can catch the ball, they can run it. And Mr. Mostert down there has had the Packers numbers a little bit at when he was with San Fran.
He sure has.
I think they're going to go 1-2. And that's a very, very, very slim chance of that even.
That's that's what I think too. I think they lose this weekend and maybe they beat the Vikings and then lose the Lions. I think I'm just thinking they'll win one of those two, but I think they lose this weekend and then that's it. And then we can, next weekend, we can duke it out again about whether they should play Jordan Love or stay with Rodgers, you know, to get used to his receivers, or do they need to get a look at Love? So we'll have a, I'm sure we'll have a spirited conversation there, Eric.
Oh, for sure. And I, you know, listen, there's that secondary makes some average receivers look pretty good, and they're going to play against two really good ones. One of them that can make poor Mr. Douglas look very, very stupid. So I think it'll be a really big challenge, because if they're going to load up on the run, they're going to get torched. And then, oh, by the way, you got to worry about that quarterback running a little bit too. Probably not a whole lot, but a little bit. So I think this matchup, I don't think they, this is a good matchup for the Packers defense whatsoever.
Yeah, none. It'll be a tough one. Well, the as usual, the sand is running out of the hourglass here. So we'll wrap this up. Just want to thank everybody for joining us. This is the After Further Review podcast. And for Eric Baranchek, I'm Pete Doherty. Take care, everybody.
Be good.